Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. A feed front session, your title for this podcast, David. I'm not sure I understand it. I know what a feedback session is. But what in the world is a feed front session?
It's not only confusing, it's hard to say. A feed front session. It's hard for me to say anyway. I coined the word, Dean, so you're not expected to know what it means. I just kind of use it to get people's attention, okay? They know what a feedback session is because after you've done something, you kind of get a group together and assess what went on and how you do things differently. But the feed front is instead of doing the assessment after the main event, you do it before the main event. So in other words, before you preach the sermon, you're going to get the people to meet with you and assess where you are in the sermon. You got it so far, but you need their extra help. I taught for a number of years for the Lilly Foundation at sessions where they would sponsor for pastors around the country. And I would talk the feed front session and people would understand it, but not quite grasp it. Then one year I got a great idea. I said, okay, in this session, we have about seven pastors. They were small groups where they came together and we would help them with the preaching. But I want you to attend the session with three lay people from your congregation. So now instead of having seven, I had four times seven, the pastor plus three lay people. I had about 28 people. And I said, I've talked about feed front sessions all the time, but I've never been able to feel as though you're really grasping what I'm talking about. So I'm going to show you, and I'm working on a sermon. It happens to relate to sins of the tongue, and it was specifically about gossip. And I've told you what the subject is, and I've told you what I want by way of response, but I don't really understand gossip all that much. I know what it is. I don't know how hurtful it is, because I don't really, it's not a big part in my life. People don't gossip that much to me as a pastor and so on. So I want to get out of the world of just concept, and I want to get into the world of your people. So how many of you lay people understand gossip from a first-hand thing, okay? And I got hands all around. I said, now what I would like for you is just to sit here with me for about 30 minutes, and I want you to answer my questions as I brainstorm this sermon, and we'll just get in a circle, which we did, and all the rest of the congregants and the pastors sat around. And so I started asking questions. I started to say, you know, gossip is not something that's a big part of my life. Do any of you really face this on a basis that it comes up? Oh, yeah, they would say. And then they'd start telling me stories about gossip. And pretty soon there was this incredible conversation going on. What do you do about it? Why do you think people do it? And I was learning about something I didn't really know that much about. And before I knew it, I saw hands from the outside rings, you know, of all these people who had stories. And I say, no, you didn't volunteer. This is just a, but I got to say something. No, you'll have to wait. You know, and we went for like 30 minutes and I was taking notes the whole time. And at the end of that 30 minutes, I had wonderful illustrations. And all of a sudden I understood gossip and the pain of it that these people were talking, so that I was not writing a sermon in a conceptual sense, but I was writing a sermon from the pain of these people who were in the group. Now, does that make sense? And when it was all done, for the first time in all these times I presented this without actually going through that exercise, the ministers began to say, I could do that, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't use everything that the people said, but I did use a couple of key illustrations. In fact, one minister had talked about a movie he saw, and I remembered the movie where he talked about gossip and how the priest, as a penance for someone who has had gossip, said, I want you to take this pillow and I want you to cut the end of it off and I want you to shake those feathers all over the neighborhood. Just shake it until they're all out of the pillow. And then he said, 2 days later, I want you to go back and pick up all those feathers. Well, you know, the damage has been done. Those feathers are all over the place. And how do you do it? But it was a very remarkable illustration. I can tell the movie it was in and everything else. But that became something that was, I grabbed onto that, I remember, because I would never have known that illustration. And I would never have felt what those people were feeling as almost instantly they began to talk about it. And I said, you know, here's the verse that we're using. Does that seem to make sense? Oh, yeah, you know. So the exposition was all done. In fact, I had probably three sermons worth of material I could preach just from that feed front session. So there are a lot of things I don't know all that much about because I haven't experienced them. You know, I'm isolated in some ways as a minister. But once I did it, then everybody could understand. And then I had words later. There was a Roman Catholic priest in the group. The Lilly Foundation had gotten people from all different backgrounds. And there was a Presbyterian minister and there was a Baptist minister. And, you know, over a period of time, I began to hear from other people that, yeah, so-and-so preached a great message on gossip. And it was really strong. Well, it was strong because of that feed front session that they had watched happen. Now, whether all those ministers, there were only like six or seven, whether they began to use that as a normal tool in sermon preparation, I don't know, but it certainly was demonstrated in a powerful way.
Wow. I love what you did there. But how does that apply to a pastor listening to us right now?
I hope that it applies even as that person is listening, but there's so many variants. It could be a specific sermon you're talking about. I remember doing a sermon series because a lot of our listeners on radio were farmers. And I thought to myself, I don't know squat about farming. You know, it's just the world totally apart from me. So I invited farmers to come and talk to me. And I met with them. And basically what I learned more than anything was where they were hurting, what frustrated them, and how the Lord related to those problems. And I did a series of five broadcasts over 1 week to the farmers who are in our Chapel of the Year listening audience. And I got phenomenal response from that because I understood what they were going through because I had taken the time in what I would call a feed front session to find out what was going on in their world and how they struggled with it. In fact, I didn't even answer their questions nearly as much as I empathized with them and said some of their own words back to them. But that was very important. I did the same thing, and one of the most successful series I ever did, I guess I'm not answering your question because you're asking me on a pastor level and I'm responding on a broadcast level.
But go ahead, because I think it's a good illustration.
Well, I got together senior citizens, and I said I'm going to talk for a week on the broadcast to senior citizens, those people who you call yourself retired, but you're still active in terms of your life. And just talking to them, all of a sudden it gave me an understanding of their world, which I could have done the whole series on my own, put it together, been biblical, expositional, and all the rest, but it never would have touched them like having talked to them. In fact, I remember even today, this was probably, you know, 18, 20 years ago. I remember one man saying, you wake up in the morning with nothing to do, and you go to bed, and you only got maybe a third of it done. Because you're very busy. You don't realize there are things that are going to fill your day, and then you have to figure out what are my priorities and all the rest. But I had all kinds of quotes, and then I had many, many letters that came. You understood us so well. And I thought, well, of course I did, because I talked to people who are like you in a feed front session. But let me go to a pastoral level. I think a lot of times pastors are in a position where they're saying, what am I going to preach? I've been here 3 years and I'm kind of preached out. What do I talk about? I think that's a wonderful time for a feed front session. And you get, you know, seven or eight people from your congregation. You say, I have preached a lot of things. I'm not sure I'm scratching where you itch. Tell me what you're struggling with, spiritually speaking. And I would like to be able to do things that I know that I'm preaching to the world you're living in. And then they begin to talk. And it may, you know, the truth of the matter is, an hour and a half is more than long enough to be able to get ideas from them, okay? So that's how I would apply it, not in terms of a specific sermon. All certainly I'd do that. I would do that regularly. Say, this is what I'm preaching about. If you're going to talk to the teens of your church, I got a special Sunday I want to talk to the teens, or I got a special Sunday I want to talk to the mothers, or it's Father's Day. Well, you get a number of them together and say, you know, tell me, what do I need to say? And none of them say, he just said everything I said, that's all. You know, that's not how they respond. They become a part of your team, and they want to help you because they feel involved, and that's a good thing. So that's what the feed front thing is, as far as what I'm talking about. I think I answered your question, didn't I?
I think you do. Mm-hmm. And not only did you answer my question, but you've given me some really good examples. When would you suggest a minister implement this, and how would they go about it? How would they go about assembling the people?
Well, it's a question that, you know, it's just a very natural thing. Just if you're going to do the session on what do you need to hear me preach messages on, you get a representational group from your congregation. You know, you may get somebody in his 20s, somebody's in the 40s. You know, you may get a single individual, and you get all kinds of different suggestions. Now, the truth is, I have never felt obligated to, because somebody says something in a group, to think that I have to include what they said or be bound by what they said. I've made that plain from the beginning. I say, you know, obviously I can't cover all the things that you talked about here. This is very helpful, but I'm going to prayerfully go before the Lord, and I'm going to say, which one of these would you want me to cover, Lord? And just trust me that I'm doing my very best in that. So basically, if you're asking who do you get a representational group. If you're going to talk about family situations or marriage situations, get some of the people to find out what they're talking about. Are they going to be open? I've never had a problem with people being open. They'll be as open or as authentic as you are. You know, if you're pretty closed about where you are and things, they will be. But if you're pretty open, they're going to be as well. And, you know, you don't get the shyest person in the whole church. You don't get six of those. You know, get the people who are talkers. And then in the group, if you have someone who isn't talking, you say, you know what? Phyllis, I've heard everybody else, but you haven't been talking. What are you thinking over there? Something's going on in your mind. I want to know where you are. And then you draw them out. And always I've had people who say, this was so helpful. You know, well, it wasn't helpful. It wasn't helpful to them nearly like it was helpful to me. But they felt involved, and they had a part in what was going on. So it's not that complicated a thing to do. It's hard, though, for a minister to get away from the idea that it's his or her responsibility, get alone with God, get alone with the scriptures, and come away with a word from the Lord, you know. Now, it doesn't mean you can't do that, but you're getting more input. It's nothing different than reading magazines, reading books, all the different things you do. It's much more lively than reading a book. I mean, you can read a book, and after 30 minutes, you find out you went to sleep. But you're not going to go to sleep with a group of about 8 or 9 people telling you what they think you should preach about. So it's a very stimulating thing. I've always found it to be very helpful. I recommend it highly. It's to the advantage of preachers to get comfortable with feed front sessions, okay?
That sounds like a wonderful idea. And we would suggest that everyone listening to us give serious consideration to implementing it. Well, we thank you very much for joining us. And we invite you to visit our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And as always, we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.